Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is the 6th of October, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello. They've left us unsupervised again.
They have. And you know what happens? At that point, we just hit record and go to town. So today, I have you here for a couple of tips for people, like hard actionable items that people can use.
Let's be honest, it's kind of therapy.
A little bit. That's true as well.
What's happening here?
Yeah, a little bit of therapy. But the first one I want to offer is you have a tip for people using Zoom. I know that's very specific because that's very few people all these days, but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you may have noticed that you spend a lot of time in Zoom. And a lot of that time is spent staring at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's okay if you look like me and Kelly, because we are a delight to look at. But for some people, that is generally very fatiguing. No, on a serious note, there is a lot of research that what people refer to as Zoom fatigue,
mm-hmm.
Is in at least in part a result of constantly looking at yourself.
Okay.
And,
interesting.
You know, that's and adds an extra strain and an extra drain. Not only are you looking at lots of people, having lots of very intense eye contact, all that kind of thing. And there's some stuff from Stanford that they wrote this up back in February. Actually, when I write up this tip, I'll include a link to it. But anyway, it's one of the contributing factors to Zoom fatigue. But you can actually turn it off within Zoom. Like during the meeting, you can kind of press, you know, when you're in Zoom and you can see the picture of yourself, either in gallery view or speaker view.
Mm-hmm.
And there's normally three buttons at the top.
Yes.
And if you tap on those, you get a menu. And then one of the options of that is hide self view. And you disappear.
Okay.
Now, this is very important. Mm-hmm. Everyone else can still see you.
Okay.
You've not turned your camera off. It's a mm-hmm. whole different thing. And so don't like do that and that you can walk around with no pants on or something, but it does reduce the kind of Zoom fatigue and mean you're just having a more normal, in inverted commas, conversation where you're just looking at the people you are speaking to as opposed to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, there's obviously also good reasons why you can see yourself within a Zoom call, you know, checking the camera angle, checking what embarrassing thing you have in the background, so on and so forth.
Yes.
So if you want to do that, and you should periodically do that, you can change on the side where you can change between gallery view and, you know, speaker view and all those things where it's got the little boxes on the side right at the top right hand corner.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've got self view off, you get the option to turn it back on again. And I also found out just by kind of clicking on another person, it brings up a menu. So if you, like I was taught when we were in our meeting before, I tapped on, I think it was you actually, Kelly, and a menu came up. One of the options was show self view. So you can turn it on and off as you will. And no one really else knows what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it can help you strike a nice balance between making sure you look okay and don't exhaust your brain.
Yeah, I like that a lot, actually. That sounds pretty nice. And there are a few other things you can do for that. One thing that I've noticed other people do, like there are a couple of solutions available if you want to make sure that you are seeing your camera more than that. A thing I'll put in there, I saw, and the reason I'm putting this in is because I know that this is something that friend of the show, Chuck Joyner, uses. And hi, Chuck. And it's a thing called PlexiCam. And basically, it's a way to move your camera off the top of your screen into the middle of your monitor. And then that way, like you can have it look, you can be looking at the other people in the meeting and have much more eye contact. And it doesn't feel quite like a slightly off center Zoom meeting sort of thing. So we'll have a link to that in the show notes because it's a kind of a nifty solution for this problem, which is a thing that And it holds all kinds of cameras too. That's the other thing. Like, it's not just a webcam. If you're using your phone, if you're using a mirrorless camera, it's got options to do that, and you can adjust it all around the screen. So you can use it as a teleprompter if that's the thing you're doing or whatever. So yeah, it's pretty nifty.
Our friend and colleague Dave Hamilton recommended webcam settings to me, which sounds like a similar kind of vibe. You can change the lighting, you can change how zoomed in and out you are, that kind of thing. And it gives you obviously a little preview as well within the app. So
yeah, that's handy. This actually moves your camera like to the middle of the screen instead of on top of the screen. It's like this little plastic bracket that you can. Yeah. But webcam settings is also really nice if you need to up your game. That's a good one too.
Because you can move the camera horizontally and vertically in webcam settings, but digitally it's not a physical. Camera doesn't physically move.
Yeah, this is scoot it down to the dock if you're looking down all the time or whatever. And so that's a cool thing about it. So
and obviously Apple's got new settings within some of the iPad Pros and stuff.
Yeah, center stage. Yeah, those sorts of things are going to be that's just going to be really nifty when we get to it. I think when we get the opportunity. I have an iPad Pro. I should try. I need to start FaceTiming some people and see what center stage is like. We'll find out. So there's some tips and a nifty Zoom tip. As soon as you discovered this, it was like a thing I went in and turned off. So we'll see how that goes. So before we head on to the rest of the show, which is seasonal, by the way, I'll give you a sneak peek of that. I would like to take a minute and tell you about our sponsor this week, and that is ZocDoc. So usually if you need a doctor, you need a doctor now or, imminently. And when that happens, you have to make a bunch of calls to find the right doctor and make sure they're someplace you can get to and that they're on your insurance and that they're accepting new patients and that they have any time to see you. And instead, you can let ZocDoc handle all of that for you. So with ZocDoc, it's an app that you can download and you search local doctors. You can find them that take your insurance. You can even read verified patient reviews and you can book in-person or video appointments. And you don't ever have to wait on hold for that anymore. And it's not just for primary care. So if you need a dentist or a dermatologist or a psychiatrist or other kinds of specialists, they have lots of varieties there and ZocDoc has it all for you. So all you have to do is go to ZocDoc.com/TDO and download the ZocDoc app and sign up for free. And you can book a top rated doctor. Some of them even have appointments today. So that's ZocDoc.com/TDO, ZocDoc.com/TDO. And we'd like to thank ZocDoc for sponsoring the show today. Now, I said today was seasonal. That today's topic was seasonal. And the reason I said that is because Charlotte described, this is about email, and Charlotte described her inbox as a horror show.
Accurately so.
I didn't say it was incorrect. I just said that was the word you used. And since it was a horror show, I thought, oh, well, let's make this a seasonal thing. So we're here to talk about your inbox.
Yes, it got to, we were at a kind of 10,000 unread email point of my life, and I was not happy with being in that point of my life. It was difficult for everyone involved.
I understand.
Joking aside, it's obviously when these, we all get lots of different emails from all different emailing lists and different, forwarding addresses and all sorts of things. People in all sorts of industries have that.
Yes.
And obviously there's a point where you kind of are confident that you're ignoring the things that can need ignoring and are taking seriously the things you need to deal with and so on. But sometimes, and we've all done this, as you're learning, I certainly have, these things escalate in an unpleasant manner. And so I sat down kind of a little bit last night and a lot this morning, UK time. Mm-hmm. To try and sort it out, this absolute horror show of a problem.
Yes.
And the tool, whenever my email inbox has got out of hand, the first tool I turn to is Maelstrom.
Yes.
Mailstrom. And what it does is first of all, there's a free trial that allows you to delete a certain number of emails, and mm-hmm. they often extend that a little bit. And then I think it's $14.99 a month, something like that. And it basically lets you mass delete based on a number of criteria. By the way, one of the premium features is that it allows you to deal with multiple inboxes, which mm-hmm. is really useful. Yeah. So I could deal with both my work email and my personal email, both run by Gmail, but it allows access to lots of different services. And so you can see emails by sender, people you've emailed, the subject, things you want to unsubscribe to, when they were sent, so month by month. You know, I had things from March 2020 and so on. You know, things that you get through social apps, shopping things based on the size. So it gives you various different criteria by which you can delete your emails. Mm-hmm. I find normally by sender or time the two most useful.
Yes.
And so you can, if there's someone you know you no longer need to get emails from, or it's a newsletter that you've read all the additions from but haven't deleted, you can click on that sender, and it might be hundreds of emails, you know, it might be up to 50 emails. I think it lets you, you know, it might be hundreds of emails from one sender,
mm-hmm.
and you press delete and they all disappear as if yep. by magic.
It is pretty great.
And you can delete, I think you can select up to 50 senders or, you know, email subjects, whatever the criteria is you're using.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, really useful. And you can actually, what seems like a really impossible task, you suddenly see working. And there's a really nice inbox zero progress tracker on your mm-hmm. left-hand side on the, in the sidebar that makes you feel like it's all worthwhile.
Yes. And
so you can start, what I find really useful is start with all the obvious stuff. So if there's a mass newsletter that I maybe read or don't read or have mm-hmm. read some editions of and just want to clear out my inbox, you can select those.
Mm-hmm.
If there's, you know, I get lots of Google alerts. Once I've seen them, I don't need to keep them in there, but I don't always be organized enough to delete them as I read them.
Yes.
So you can select all your Google alerts and clear them all out in one go, mm-hmm. literally with two clicks of a button.
Yeah.
And so that stuff is really, really, really useful.
Yeah. You mentioned the free trial. I don't know if there's a time limit on the free trial, but it looks like
it's yeah. about quantity, not time, I think.
Yeah. So it says that under the free trial, you get an inbox snapshot. So it's like 5,000 emails, I think it says.
Yeah.
The removal limit is 25% of your snapshot. And then you can add a single email account and you can load up to 5,000 emails in your inbox and start managing to kind of get a feel for it. And then the basic plan lets you have one email account and it will load up to 10,000 inbox emails. And that's $9 a month or $60 a year. So you can sign up for a year of keeping everything under control. And it comes out to be $5 a month instead of $9 a month. And the plans go up from there. For $14 a month or $100 a year, you can add 3 email accounts, 250,000 emails. Loads of filters are involved in these. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's another point I wanted to make, actually. Because you're right to point out the filters. So you can, it gives you, it's basically like a one single inbox maelstrom. So you can forward emails or archive emails en masse. Or I think you can, there's a chill option which lets them come back up at a certain date
mm-hmm.
or make them disappear with expire. And you can also move them to different folders, which is going to be the next part of my clearing up my inbox journey. Creating folders, making sure the right things go in the right place, that kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm. Since we do Security Friday here, another thing I feel like I want to point out is Maelstrom is using IMAP protocol for this. It's the same thing that most people are using for email nowadays, where you're not downloading the messages and then having them deleted from the server. They kind of all live on the server and you're just viewing what's there and managing it on that side. And they use IMAP with OAuth too. So Maelstrom never gets your password to your email or anything like that. And one of the other things that I like that in what I remember about Maelstrom, I've used Maelstrom in the past, is not just using the filters, but having the sorting on those, like things that say shopping or things that you want, yeah, that are mailing lists, maybe, that like if it has an unsubscribe option, you can just look at everything that you had the option to unsubscribe from, and you can, you know, clear all that stuff out.
Absolutely.
So it definitely gives you a whole lot of options for en masse, as you have said a couple of times, like getting rid of hundreds of messages at a time by doing that. And that's the thing that I appreciate a lot about Maelstrom. So
yeah, for sure. You can also, if you, there's another thing. So you, for example, if you're doing it in month view,
mm-hmm,
that will cover multiple pages of email. So you can delete a page at a time to check you're not deleting a thing you want to keep.
Yeah.
And if you press the wrong button and you like mass delete stuff you actually want, if you go to, there's an undo option, basically. It's at the bottom. It's called show tasks. It shows you the tasks that you've done, and you can undo.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and
nice.
Go back. And it is also worth remembering that this stuff isn't deleted, as you said, just into Funetha. When you hit delete in Maelstrom, it's going into your, you know, Apple Mail bin.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, I realized I deleted an email that I needed and could find it just in Mac Mail in the bin there. So
yeah, that's there. Part of what I really like about Maelstrom is that it gives you that option, and that it's not permanent. It's you know, if you want to delete all of these, like, okay, they're deleted, not they've been obliterated, like they're just all in the trash. So you do need to remember to go empty the trash. But that's one thing that makes it very handy, is Maelstrom. And I would totally recommend get the free trial and see what you think. They're not a sponsor of the show or anything. It's just a service that I have used and that Charlotte is currently appreciating. So yeah. And
I'll
this
come
is
back and show you how the future control methods go.
I was gonna say, this is phase one, is take what's there and cut it down to a reasonable size, you know, at least as far as the inbox goes. And then you have sort of other phases that you're looking at as far as getting email under control.
Yeah, right? I think this is gonna require a multi-staged approach.
Probably. A tip I will give people is, you don't necessarily need all the folders that you think you do. In the old days, search really sucked. And so it was a lot faster to just put things in the right folders and then go look in the, and then, you know, go open the folder and then only search that one folder for something. And now, with the amount of horsepower, even on your phone or your iPad or, you know, other sorts of mobile devices, like even those have more than enough horsepower to search all the email you have in your entire email archive. Mm-hmm. So you may want to, like, if you want to continue to put things in folders, that's fine, but you don't have to do it as a countermeasure against, if I ever have to search for this email again, it's going to take 100 years. That has improved dramatically. And that's a thing that I am also saying for my own benefit, because it's a thing that I forget too. And because I've had an email address for a really long time. And sometimes when you make yourself a habit and some muscle memory in the 90s, it's really hard to break that in 2021. So yeah, I've been on the internet a really long time, kids. So anyway, that's gonna do it for us today. If you have tips about how you manage your email inbox, obviously Charlotte's on the lookout for those, so you can get us at observations@macobserver.com, at TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. Charlotte, thanks so much for coming by.
Please email me your tips and save me from myself. Thank you so much. Bye.
She really does look forward to those. And I do too. I'm always looking to optimize any kind of process, and email is a process that's never going to go away. So I could always use some improvement there as well. So if you've got those, let us know. And I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. Let's be careful out there.